If you have your Bibles, would you hold them up? Heavenly Father, we come before you once again, opening your word. God, your word is truth, and it is a foundation. It's a foundation that we can build our lives upon that will not be shaken. No matter what happens around us, no matter what happens in this world, the word of God will and always will do what you say it will do. God, we need to remember as the enemy continues to try to get us off track, we need to always go to the word, because in the word we find the truth. And the truth, it says, will set us free in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, let me ask a question this morning as we get started. How many of you are on the path to victory with me this morning? Anybody victorious in here? Somebody got two hands up. I'm running, right? You know, again, I just a reminder. So if I go around and I ask you, define success for me, define victory in life, every one of us would have some different idea of what that looks like. Some might say, well, it's to make a certain amount of money or to hold a certain title or position. Some might say, well, if I was married to her or if I was married to him or if I had that kind of watch or I lived in that house, in that neighborhood, or I drove that kind of car, that might define success for you. But I want you to understand that God's definition of success looks nothing like that. But one, hey, there's another side of that coin too. God does want to bless you. God does want you to live the abundant life on earth. That's why I'm preaching this message through the book of Romans, because the book of Romans is where we find our pathway to victory. That's what I've been talking about here now for the last, today's the fifth week. Yeah. Thank you. I got it written down. Thank you. I appreciate that. We're on the pathway to victory, and I'm preaching about the pathway to victory because Jesus died so you could be victorious. And I know that I know who I am, and I know where I am, and I understand the context of what I'm talking about. Is that there are a lot of Christians today who are not living victoriously. That bothers me. I want to see everybody live the victorious life. Oh, it doesn't mean that trouble's not going to come. That stuff's not going to happen in your life, that it's going to try to rock you, that's going to kind of get your focus off of God, that's going to put your focus on your circumstances. But I want you to know that Jesus died so you could have abundant life on earth, and that's what I'm talking about this morning. You can open your Bible this morning, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. We're going to study the entire time today in Romans chapter 8. So far in this message series called Pathway to Victory, I preached to you week number one about a big problem. The big problem was our sin. A lot of times we have sin because we're so wrapped up in self, right? Week number two, I told you that with our big problem came a big solution. The big solution is a man named Jesus. He provided us this thing called justification. Justification means that he made you righteous. Say, I'm righteous. Do you feel righteous? Yes. Oh, some of y'all. See, a lot of times we don't feel it, but we are it. Right. Just because you don't feel it, don't let your feelings disturb what God's already done. Right. Week number three, I talked about a big process. How many of you would say that you feel holy right now? I just feel holy. Most of the time, I don't feel holy. I'm just going to be honest. The preacher says to you he doesn't feel. Because you know why? Because holiness is not a feeling. Holiness is a fact. And I'm holy because of what Jesus did on that cross. And I'm in this process of holiness. And so anybody thinks that they've made it, that they're there, that they have made it to the place of holiness in their life, and your entire life looks holy. Anybody? Whew, good. Good. Because I would feel really, really rejected if you were holy and I wasn't. Because I really don't always feel that way. Matter of fact, hardly ever do I feel that way, because I still have emotions. I still have this sin nature that keeps wanting to do things that are contrary to what the Bible defines or looks, or things that may look holy, or what the world maybe defines as holiness, right? But I'm in this big process called sanctification, and sanctification is the process of holiness. It is Jesus bringing me along to look more like his son each and every day that I follow him. When I wake up in the morning, I say, God, today I'm living for you. I've just taken another step in my holiness. I've just taken another step in my sanctification with God. And one day, when Jesus decides it's time for Eddie to go home to be with him, when I'm 120 years old, That's the promise. Genesis chapter 6, I think it's verse 15. You can check me. It says, and your years shall be 120. You mean you can claim it. If you don't claim it, you can't have it. I claim it. So I'm going to live to 120. I don't know what y'all are going to do. But anyway, and so when I get to 120 and he says, it's time for you to come home, he then will take my sanctification and turn it into glorification, and I'll be perfect, made perfect in entering the pearly gates, walking with Jesus on streets of gold. Anybody with me? Last week, I talked to you about a big struggle. Oh, even when we're trying to walk the holiness walk, even when we're trying to be holy, we're trying to be the pastor, there's still a big struggle. I got temptation. We fail to believe certain things that the Bible says about us, and when we fail to believe them, we can't have them. I was talking to somebody the other day that was involved in a legal situation. And in their mind, they play this tape of what they think happened. But then there's a report that tells exactly what happened. And I said, you know what? You got to quit playing in here what you think happened and go to the report, because the report tells exactly what happened. You know, sometimes we play a tape in here that tries to tell us who we are and tries to tell us what we need or what we don't need. And what we have to do is we have to go to the tape. We have to go to the report. The report, that's the Bible, by the way. You have to go to your iPad. You have to go to your Bible, because the Bible tells you really who you are. Today I want to talk to you about the big helper. How many of you would say that in your trying to live the Christian life, sometimes you just need a little help? Anybody need some help? I mean, you better raise your hand, because that means you're prideful if you're not raising your hand. I'd say the Christian life for me is probably the hardest thing I've ever done. It was easy to walk lost. It was easy to just be worldly. It just came natural. It's what I did. I was good at it. All of a sudden, I get saved, and everything that I once believed and everything that I once felt and everything that I once tried to achieve all became useless and meaningless, and I had to change everything. I had to change what I believed. I had to change the way I feel. I had to change everything. And I just got to be honest, along that pathway now for the last 20 years, it's been hard. You feel me? Sometimes when I think things are going really good, then there are times when I think things are going really good. And then bang, another crossroad. Oh, now what? I just thought I had this thing figured out. And all of a sudden, something else to trip me up, something else to get me off track. Y'all too? And it's at those times that I realize just how weak I am. And when it comes to resisting temptation or doing the wrong things or making the wrong choices, and it's at those weak moments that I realize I need something greater. I need something that's so far outside of me, and I realize I can't do this on my own. It's the beauty of walking with Jesus, because he said, hey, disciples, hey, children of God, I'm not going to leave you alone. That's what he said to them in John 16. I'm going to leave you another counselor, the comforter, the Holy Spirit, and he's not just going to be with you, he's going to be in you. That's as close as you can get. God, knowing our weakness, provided us a solution. But it's what I love about his solution, it wasn't a once and done solution. It was a continual solution. It was an everyday, day in and day out solution. He would always be with you. No matter what you're involved in, no matter what you're doing, good, bad, or indifferent, walking towards him or walking away from him, he'll still be with you. Isn't that the beauty of God? Is that he's like, when God said to you, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, he meant it. Romans chapter 8, the big helper we're talking about this morning, the Holy Spirit in us. Romans chapter 8, go to verse 13. Here's what it says. Read a few verses for you. I want to talk about it this morning and tell you what the big helper does in the life of the believer. Romans 8:13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us, for the creation walks in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption, the sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Here's what the big helper does in the life of the believer. I found in this passage seven things that I believe I'm going to hopefully point out to you this morning that the big helper does in the life of a follower of Christ. And these seven things I want you to remember are not the only seven things that the big helper does, but these are the seven things contained in this context in Romans chapter 8. Pastor Eddie, you left out this and you left out that. I'm aware. It's okay. I'm aware. There are many other things that the big helper, the Holy Spirit, does in our life, but these seven are contained in these verses I read to you just a moment ago. So here they are. Number one, the big helper helps me get a handle on my sin. This is what he said in verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. The Holy Spirit in you, the big helper, and one of the big helper's jobs is to give you the internal strength to withstand temptation and sin. The Holy Spirit is the physical manifestation of God on the earth. And just like the Holy Spirit came before in the body of Jesus, he now comes in the body of you. He's now in you. And because he's in you, he gives you the ability to withstand temptation, to withstand the thing that's trying to drag you away. The word misdeeds, as used in verse 13, is the Greek word praxis, and it means the function or the work of. And so what Paul's telling us here is that when we choose to continue to live by the flesh, we reap the rewards of the flesh, which is death. And when we choose to live by the Spirit, we put to death the misdeeds of the flesh, the deeds of the flesh, or the works of the flesh. It's all about the part of your nature that you feed. If you feed the flesh, the flesh is going to be the stronger part of who you are. But if you feed your spirit, the spirit will then be the stronger part of who you are. What are you putting in? If we put in junk, you're going to get junk out. I remember talking to somebody one time, and they were telling me, I can't figure out why I'm not losing weight. I eat all the right things. I eat only low fat, like no fats foods, and I exercise, you know, three or four times a day or three or four times a week, and I can't figure out why I'm not losing weight. So, well, tell me about your diet. And this lady began to tell me about that she ate a whole fat-free cake and a whole box of cereal where there's no fat in the cereal. You see, I don't understand. I'm eating fat-free. Yeah, but you didn't know about that 10,000 calories you consumed in sugar. Right? See, it's all about the quality of the sustenance that you're putting in. You say, well, that's good music I listen to on the radio. Makes me want to dance. I love music. Love music my whole life. But you know, there's some music that feeds my spirit, and there's some that feeds my flesh. I'll give you a great example. Not long after I got saved, I was a big Metallica fan. Right? Don't judge me. And I was in the gym one day and I was working out, and this Metallica song came on, and I was working out. I started getting angry. And I'm like, why am I getting like angry, like agitated? Because what was happening in that music was causing something that wasn't supposed. I'm telling you, like, you may sound that, I think that's weird. I had to like walk out the room. Because it was starting to kind of, it was agitating my spirit. It was going against I'm trying to feed my spirit good things. You know how you feed your spirit good things? Worship. Worship. You leave all your junk out there and you come in here and you worship. You get in the word every day. I got to put some word in. I got to put some worship in. You don't have to just worship on Sunday either. I'm just telling you. I worship 7 days a week. Yesterday, I went and sat in my office for a few minutes. I was just thinking about this Christian song, and I put it on my computer while I was in my office for a few minutes at home just to begin to let it feed my spirit. Listen, when your spirit gets agitated because you're not feeding it the right things, or you don't find that you're getting the results that you need spiritually, begin to make a list of the nutrients that you're putting in. If you're putting in the wrong, it said fat-free. You didn't read the other part. It's got 85 servings. You ate all 85 at 300 calories a serving. You ate 24,000 calories. And I can't figure out why I'm not losing weight. I can't figure out why I'm not growing spiritually. The big helper helps you put sin behind you. The second thing the big helper does is he helps remind me of my place in God's family. Am I talking this morning to children of God? Any children of God in here? Sons and daughters. That's right, sons and daughters. That's who you are. Romans 8:14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're children. God puts his spirit in you for several reasons, and one of the reasons is that constant reminder that you're a child of God. Even when your actions say otherwise, even when your attitude says otherwise, he's a child of God. You're a child. You're still my son. You're still my daughter. Those things don't just. How many parents in the house? Any parents in here? Oh, I love parenting. I have 5 kids. Now I have 4 grandkids and 4 and 1 on the way. All right, is that right? 4 and 1 on the way. I know you're thinking he doesn't even look that old. That's what I was thinking. I don't feel that old. I love being a parent. You know what? There's something about parenting. Even when my kids get on my last nerve, and that happens sometimes, right? You know, one thing I can never say, you're not my kid. I can say it, but you know what? They'll always be mine. You know why? Because there's something running through their veins called my DNA. You know, when you're born again, you have Jesus' DNA running through your veins. He can't deny you. It don't matter how mad you make him. It don't matter how much you mess up. He loves you. And the Spirit's there to remind you, you're a child. You're a child. Anybody in here ever felt rejected by somebody? Felt rejected, boyfriend, girlfriend, even by a mother, a father, by a coworker, a boss. You felt rejected. Someone told you no. Someone told you go. Someone just rejected you. I want you to understand something. God will never, ever, ever reject you. As a matter of fact, the cross says to you, he's accepted you. And he's accepted you just like you are. Every part of who you are. Scars, bruises, and everything else. The third thing that the big helper does in our life is that he empowers me to stand in faith. The Spirit in verse 15 says, the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Now listen, if you're living in fear of anything, you're not living in faith concerning that thing. Fear and faith do not stand together. They stand opposite one another. They move on opposite tracks. They go in opposite directions. You're either going to stand in fear or you're going to stand in faith. You can't stand in both. Well, I got a little bit of fear and a little bit of faith. No, pick one. And I'm not saying that just because you're standing in faith don't mean that you're not shaking on the inside. I've stood in faith before and been petrified on the inside, but I'm standing in faith. Because I believe that faith is where God wants me to stand. And I'm going to stand there because I'm a child of God. I can stand there because he's not given me a spirit of fear. Listen, faith is not present where fear is in control, and fear is not present when faith is in control. And if faith is going to be in control, there may be a little fear, a residual fear there because of what I'm facing or what I'm looking at. But I want you to understand, it's not in control. Faith is in control. I'm going to face this enemy. That's what David did when he faced Goliath. That's a big old dude right there. Some of you may be facing a big opponent right now. And that big opponent is scary. And he's making you shake in your shoes. You're like, oh my God, how am I going to get through this? I'm not sure I'm equipped. Oh, you know what? You're not. But the Holy Spirit in you has equipped you to face your giant and to kill him. Amen? Helps you stand in faith. Number four. The big helper reminds me that I'm an heir of the promises of God. Look what he says in verse 17. Now, if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. As your parents' child, whatever your parents owned at the time of their passing belongs to you. Whatever it is. You know, when Jesus went to the cross and he died, everything that was his is now yours. You know, how many of you know how many promises are in the Bible? Anybody know how many? It is said that there are some 7,200 promises. How many of you know 10? 20? 25? I bet most Christians couldn't name 50. That's a lot of promises, 50. Imagine this, 7,200, and all for you. The importance of going to the Word and beginning to digest the truth of His Word, because in that Word contain promises concerning you, every one of them, 7,200 of them to be exact. And so you need to get in there and find out. The big helper is there to continue to reveal God's promises to you, continue to remind you that you're an heir, and if God promised it, it's yours. Number five, the big helper reminds me of the freedom I have in Christ. Romans 8:20 says, "For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God." As a child of God, we have been given freedom, right? Not a freedom like you and I understand freedom, but instead a freedom from the effects of this world. Although the outside is wasting away, the inside is being renewed day by day. My inside, the outside getting these wrinkles, and if I had hair, you'd see it's gray. And it really is. I let it grow a little bit, and I'm like, oh, got to go. Because it's completely gray. And if you rock in the gray hair, amen to you. But I'm not doing that. So, yeah, call it what you will. But on the inside, although this thing right here, because, you know, the Bible talks about the body as a tent. None of us going to live in a tent. Anybody want to live in a tent for a long period of time? You go in a tent for the weekend, camping. Well, we're not camping. I'm not living in this thing. This thing was temporary. But what's on the inside is eternal. And so God, it says in Ecclesiastes that eternity's been put into the hearts of men. That the desire for eternity. I'm going to live eternally with God. And I have the freedom of knowing that each and every day. And even though this is wasting away on the inside, I'm getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And number six, the big helper helps me pray the right things. How many of you ever started praying, a time of prayer, and you got stuck? Like, I don't even know what to pray. I don't know how to pray. I don't even know the words. Only me. You know what I did? I didn't just turn the radio on and move on. I sat there quiet and just began to meditate, just began to think about God, and just allow the Holy Spirit in me to begin to communicate for me. And you know, when the Holy Spirit communicates for me, sometimes I leave prayer times, I don't even know what I said because it's words that I don't understand. And I leave those times and I go, well, I am so refreshed. I don't know what you just did, but boy, I sure am glad you did it, because I feel so much better. That happens to me all the time. Because I'm telling you, there are so often I'll be driving early in the morning. I get up early, go to the gym early in the morning. I'll be driving to the gym early in the morning, having this conversation with God without a word that I understand. And when I finish, I go, wow, that was so good. And I feel so much better. My day starts that way almost every single day. He helps me pray the right things. When you don't know what to pray, allow the Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit, the big helper's there to pray the right things, to pray your life in accordance with His will. By the way, God will never make your will His. He'll never make your will your will. He'll never make your will His will. God's got a will, it ain't yours. Now you can have it, but you gotta take His will. So that means we gotta be listening, we gotta be in tune, we have to be continually following after Him to so He can identify His will. How does He do that? The Holy Spirit in you helps you pray the right things. Number seven, last but not least, the Holy Spirit, the big helper in me, helps me realize that everything is going to be all right. How many of you ever just faced something that you're like, man, I don't know what the outcome is. This, I don't know what this looks like. I'm kind of scared. I'm not truly sure. You know, Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things. Listen to that word, all things. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. Christians, just like everybody else in this fallen world, go through stuff. Every one of us. Just because you have the word Christian now doesn't mean that life's going to be perfect, that you're going to be constantly blessed, as the world defines blessed, and never face adversity, never face problems. As a matter of fact, quite the opposite. There's an enemy out there that's going to continue to throw problems in your way to get you off track. I want you to know it doesn't matter what it is you face, how big it is, how bad it looks, or what the outcome is. It says, and we know that in all things, that includes that thing you're going through. And He works them out for good. Now, it doesn't say that all things are good. It just says He'll work all things for the good. Who does this apply to? Every one of you that calls Jesus Lord. You're a child of God, it applies to you. Because you're called. Anybody in here love Jesus? Yeah, okay, you're one of those. There's a purpose for your life. You know, only you can fulfill the purpose God has for your life. Only you. There's a specific purpose for your life. God has a purpose for your life. Oh, and it's probably not doing what you're doing right now. Maybe some of you are, but there's a purpose. And the only way you're going to find the purpose is to begin to follow God's plan. You begin to listen to His voice. You begin to walk after Him. You begin to wake up every day running towards Him instead of away from Him. Would you stand with me? Here's what the big helper does in the life of the believer. Helps me get a handle on my sin. Reminds me of my place in the family, son, daughter. Empowers me to stand in faith. Reminds me that we're heirs of the promises of God. Listen to me. Every one of them. If God spoke it, it's yours. It reminds me of the freedom I have in Christ. You're free. Helps you pray the right things and helps you realize that everything is going to be all right. This morning, I say, I just need a fresh touch of the big helper this morning. I need a fresh touch of God's Holy Spirit this morning in my life. I want to invite you here, and I'm going to pray for you to receive a fresh touch of God's Spirit so you go out and continue to live this life that God's called you to. Come on. You need that touch this morning. Come on. Now, so often people think about the Holy Spirit. There's so many other things that the Holy Spirit does in our life. It'd be a lesson for another day. But we think about the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand, everything that God does in the supernatural has a natural reason, has a natural purpose. God doesn't do anything by accident or happenstance. He didn't just send the Holy Spirit so you could get butterflies. Ooh, it's so good. I love the experience with God. It's great. But that's not what it's for. It's so that you can live this life on earth. Because he knows it's hard here. You know why he knows it's hard here? He lived here. Lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you needing a fresh touch of your Spirit in the lives of these people. And Father, right now, I pray for an outpouring of your Spirit upon your people. God, you see the hearts that are present at this altar right now, and God, people who just need a touch from you, this strengthening and encouragement in their spirit to do what you've called them to do and to go where you've called them to go. And God, I know how hard it is to walk this walk, as these folks who are in front of me know how hard it is to walk this walk. And right now, God, I pray for a supernatural empowerment, God, that when they walk out of here, God, I pray that they're walking out of here like David faced Goliath, knowing that there may be giants in front of them, but there's nothing that will defeat them. Greater is he that is in them than he that's in this world. And I pray, God, that they'll continue to see the victories in their life because you filled them and empowered them for such a time as this, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.